Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is something a little bit different. Now, it's the 17th of May as of recording, which means that Spiral from the Book of Saw, the brand new horror movie, is now out. It's number 9 in the franchise of the Saw films and I'm a huge, huge fan of Saw. I love the ride, I love the franchise, I love the scare maze. And someone else who is a huge fan of Saw is Polly, our guest host here at Scare Track. Now, Polly has written, back in 2014, she wrote a blog post for Celluloid Screams of her top 10 Saw traps. So today, I'm currently on Saw number 5. I'm taking a quick break to chat to Polly and talk all about her top 10 Saw traps. We're also going to give a few honourable mentions at the end as well. So, yeah, let's get straight into it. Before we do, though, thank you to everyone who's joined us on social media in celebrating our sort of makeshift Saw marathon and Saw celebration. We've had people send in pictures of their puppet tattoos, Billy the Puppet tattoos, people sending their cosplays. So yeah, it's been really fun. Thank you so much. And guys, if you're listening to this episode now and think, oh, I dressed up as someone from Saw a few years ago, then send us the photo. We can put it on our story and celebrate Saw all together. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. Give us a like, give us a follow. And yeah, send in anything you've got Saw related. Maybe it's some merch. Maybe it's a picture of you on the Saw ride at Thorpe Park. Maybe it's a scare maze photo from Thorpe Park. Absolutely anything Saw related, send it into us and we'll share it. But for now, let's get guest host Polly Allen onto the Scare Track Podcast.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi folks and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined by Polly. How's it going, Polly?
It's going good. You know, it's going great because I know that we're about to talk about Saw.
Damn
which
right
is
we are.
Any time talking about Saw is a great time. So I'm doing good, thank you. Yeah, it's really nice to be back on.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just over a year ago now when we sort of advertised you as a guest host joining us here on Scare Track, and we were looking forward to what the future held, and the future held COVID, and and a lot of plans didn't really go ahead, did they? So
yeah, it felt like it sort of fizzled out as soon as we were like, yeah, here I am, and then nothing's happening.
Definitely.
But we're good. I think we've got some plans ahead, haven't we? So
yeah,
hopefully we'll be getting back on track in the future, which is as is everybody, hopefully, now that things are starting to get a bit more back to normal. So I'm very excited for the next few months.
Yeah, definitely. And today we're recording on May 17th, which we all know is a very, very big day. Not only is it the day that Spiral from the Book of Saw has come out, but it's a happy dark ride and theatre and sea life and indoor entertainment day. So they've all been able to reopen. So congratulations and good luck to everyone who's still to open. Now we're in the third stage of lockdown. But let's not wallow in all our rubbish about COVID. Let's talk about Saw.
Saw, yes, it is. Well, I think I said mere moments ago, definitely one of my favorite horror franchises, if not my favorite, maybe.
Wow.
If thinking about it, really, it's just something that I always come back to. It's always a good time, and I never get bored talking about it. I'm so excited for Spiral.
Yes.
And really, like, I don't know how. I'd be interested to know if you kind of feel it a similar way to me. But even though I really like horror, when I was a little bit younger, I would say scared more easily. I scare a little less easily now. So I would kind of gravitate more towards horror films that were very heavy on the gore, because it was the kind of supernatural jump scare, you know, the kind of like spooky, that kind of film where I would enjoy it, but it would scare me. Whereas Saw, you know, obviously it's horrifying. There's a lot of gore and the effects are great. But it's not scary, is it? Do you know what I mean?
I think it's that similar for me as well. I mean, anyone that listens to the show it knows that even though I do lots of scary experiences, scare mazes, we've both done extreme stuff as well. I'm actually quite scared of movies. Like I'm quite a wimp when it comes to horror films. out of the you know, the two of us, me and my wife Hannah, she's watched hundreds more than me. But I'm catching up. I'm doing my best now to sort of catch up on all the oldies and all the newbies as well. But I'm similar to you. I think when I first started getting into the horror scene as such, and although there's different scenes from, you know, being a lover of horror films compared to horror attractions, there's still that slight overlap, isn't there? A little bit anyway. Not as big as we'd might think, but that's another episode to talk about. But yeah, so when I was watching horror films, I'm kind of glad that Saw wasn't really that scary. it's just gory, and
it's just a gory good time, isn't it? But yeah. But it's interesting. It is interesting what you mention about scare attractions, because I don't know if I don't necessarily get the sense that Saw is a big one for the scare community, but in my heart, it feels like it probably is, because there are certain things about it that are so reminiscent of that style of entertainment that we've got, especially in the UK. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, for one, let's see, Charlie Clouser, the very gifted composer. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, so I've definitely heard some of his music in the queue lines of certain scare attractions. Right. Off the top of my head, the music that he did for Dead Silence was used in the queue line of Terror of the Towers. Yes, yeah, that's it. Yes.
It's
so
mad,
you know,
it?
Even though that's a different piece of music, yeah, his style, it reminds me of being in a scare attraction. So you've kind of got a little link there. Obviously, we've got Darren Lynn Bousman bringing us, obviously, many Saw films, but the Tension experience as well.
True.
There's a little
yeah.
kind of crossover yeah. there, which is, as you kind of touched on, it's really nice when we have that crossover of horror films and scare attractions. And I think... Yeah, Darren Lynn Bousman with that scare experience is like, it's a nice link there.
Definitely.
But also, do you know what? I think the set design of the Saw films as well, given that a lot of them are kind of mazes, you know, moving from room to room, with the kind of, you know, something bloody daubed on the wall, and you're walking through the door, and what's behind this door, you know, it is so reminiscent of what we kind of have in this country in terms of like scare attractions, scare mazes, you know.
Yeah, I see that definitely, and especially going. So let's take for example, obviously Saw at Thorpe Park, opened 2010. I think it closed its final year after 2017, I think. Don't quote me on that one. And it was there as a full-time thing, then it went to part-time and just peak days, and then it went to just Fright Nights. But you're right, it really just, the theme of the films and the scenography, the lighting, the sounds, everything within the movie just works so well as a scare maze.
It does. It lends itself to a scare maze, and it kind of feels like you're in one. It's so reminiscent of that particular style, that, you know, a very specific style of scare maze, of course. But
when you're
in one, you can, you know, you're like, oh, this reminds me of Saw.
Absolutely, definitely.
So yeah, I wonder whether it does hold a special place in the hearts of many kind of scare fans for that reason, perhaps.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the reason I'm such a fan of, and this is what I wanted to get onto next, on why we both as individuals enjoy Saw so much and our memories of it. I think it's because I actually went through the maze and the ride before watching the films, which right, I know yeah. people say that that's backwards. And nowadays, if I'm going to Halloween Horror Nights, I'll make sure that I watch every IP that they've got on, you know, got on. For it's your homework, isn't it, really? You know, you plan mm-hmm. for it. But back then, I was still quite new to attractions and the scare world. Like I said earlier, I was a little bit of a wuss, so I didn't watch very many horror films. And it was a friend of mine who basically told me that the Saw Alive maze was the queue line to the roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know Thorpe Park very well at all. I'd maybe been once before. And he said, yeah, you've got to go through this to get onto the ride. Now, I'm a big roller coaster geek. I love coasters. And it was my proper first scare maze, really, Saw Alive. So I was terrified. And then I went through and I came out with a grin from ear to ear. I thought it was the best thing I'd ever seen, best thing since sliced bread. Obviously went on the coaster, really enjoyed the coaster as well. I thought the theming elements of it, the dark ride section of it, just really worked. And then I started watching the franchise. I was like, it just, rather than it being the usual way around of watch the film, enjoy the experience, it was enjoy the experience, then watch the film. I just had I had a different kind of love for the movie franchise.
Yeah, that's great.
It was really cool. So that's why, you know, even though I'm not, if I'm choosing a movie, I tend to go for a comedy. And Hannah's the one who's going for a horror. but if Saw is on the list, I'll always go for Saw over anything else.
That's great. I love that. That's interesting doing it that way around as well.
Mm, yeah, different, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
How did you get into Saw?
So it was, let's think. So the first Saw was in 2003. It's 2004, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was definitely into my horror by then. But as I say, perhaps did scare a little bit more easily, as I kind of touched on about like why Saw was a good one for me, because, you know, you're not getting those kind of supernaturally type jump scares that I was a little bit aware of, especially in the cinema. I mean, God, jump scares in the cinema, jump out your skin.
Yeah, big time.
but it had that kind of nastiness, which at the time, I mean, things have changed a great deal, you know, especially kind of around horror and mainstream horror and what people have come to expect. But at the time, obviously it got caught up in the whole kind of torture porn timeline, and people were losing it. I mean, yeah, critics, they were kind of kicking off in mainstream media. You had a lot of kind of people getting rather upset. And I just loved that. I thought that was great to kind of have something make so many waves in the mainstream, where really, I mean, it is pretty gory. The effects are quite full on.
Definitely.
So yeah, I think with the way that everybody was reacting, that just kind of made me gravitate towards it even more. And as I say, because it was kind of gory rather than scary, that was definitely my thing at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't go in Saw Alive. I'd not gone in that. The first time I went through that was for ScareCon, that we had it at ScareCon.
2015,
yeah. Yeah. And I was thrilled. I was so excited. And kind of when I went through it, I kind of linking back to what we were saying earlier about how well the two blend together.
Yeah,
I was like,
definitely.
this is perfect. This is a fantastic experience. The ride at that time was closed, though. Do you remember?
It was, yeah. Yeah, I remember
so,
now.
Yeah, it was closed. That I was didn't a shame. Get on. It was real shame. Yeah, especially kind of having had the experience in the maze.
Yeah,
really nice to kind of have the experience on the ride as well. Didn't get on the ride till 2018, something like that. Yeah,
it opened in 2009 as well.
Yeah, I don't get to Thorpe Park much, I just thought it was. I thought it was incredible. The kind of dark section in the initial stage of the ride. Oh, I was
awesome.
I was
definitely
thrilled. I thought it was fantastic, it's just that kind of on-screen nastiness. Really, it really kind of scratches an itch.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're in the mood for something like that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's just fun, isn't it? That's one of those. I think it's like, if you don't like blood and guts, then you're potentially not going to like it. But that's another thing that's weird, you know, from my point of view, is the fact that if I'm watching something like something real, like a documentary based on a hospital or something like that, even if someone has a paper cut, I can't look at it. It makes me feel sick. Whereas Saw, is being dubbed torture porn, the most horrific stuff you might see on your TV screen, because I know it's fake, it's all right. I can watch it. I just don't understand.
Yeah. Actually the same. What's that TV show that people like? 999, what's your emergency or something?
Something like that. I steer clear from him, honestly.
Yeah, same. I'm exactly the same. If I'm seeing it and I know that it's real, I'm a bit. Yeah. But yeah. So even if it's just around, you know, how did they do that effect?
Yeah, definitely.
Getting caught up in that side of it is really interesting. But either that, or you can just let the blood wash over you and just enjoy all the gore. So yeah, I'm the same as you when it comes to the real stuff.
Grim, honestly. I mean, I might watch a program once and go, nope, that's too real for me. I watched Sex Sent Me to the ER once. God, never again. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Never watch that thing in a million years.
I might have to make an exception.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying. I think I'd rather be in a Saw trap. That's tempting fate, isn't it? Right, big time. Right, let's get on to the main sort of feature section of today's episode. And Polly, you wrote a blog post back in 2014 of your top 10 Saw traps, didn't you?
I did indeed, yes. So because I'd done that back in 2014, there is the one that shall not be named, or I will name it, Jigsaw. That wasn't included anyway, but just to clarify, I wouldn't include it now. So yeah.
Well, let's touch on that very quickly then. Why, obviously we spoke a little bit off air, and I agree with you. Why would you not connect Jigsaw to the rest of the Saw franchise?
It delivered something completely different. And I tell you, this puzzled me because I remember vividly, I was listening to the Kermode and Mayo film review show, and Mark Kermode was saying that he's not a big Saw fan. So what he'd done is he'd spoken to Saw fans to kind of get a feel for how they felt about Jigsaw, because he didn't feel he could comment. And a lot of the people he spoke to were apparently saying like, oh, it's great. It's just a proper Saw film. But I could not feel more differently to that. It's so strange. It's the tone of it. It's the look of it. Yeah. I'm a big fan of how the Saw films in the franchise, they really go over the top with that kind of color grading.
Sort of very like, green
it's
and
just,
grainy.
I was going to say, some are like straight up green. And then it's like, okay, this room's blue. Yeah. And this one's red. But I just really like it because I think it's quite playful. I also, the way that the gore was presented, I felt kind of lacked that flair and that kind of giddy enjoyment that I get a sense of previous directors of Saw films. I didn't really feel that. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of my favorite aspects of the Saw films are those fantastic final edits that you get where you have a big reveal. You have the Charlie Clouser themes usually play in. You've got those kind of really quick edits where it reveals a huge twist.
Yeah, like puts it all together and shows you old clips from sometimes even three movies ago. It will
have that's a clip right. And,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's like it's a signature style, isn't it? It's what you can expect. I don't remember it having that, and I really like that shit. So I was quite heartbroken.
I think I could be wrong.
Maybe they had it and I just forgot it. I don't know, but yeah.
I think it was maybe included within the explanation of I can't even remember his name, and that's saying something, you know. Everything else, the rest of the series, the franchise, I know inside out-ish. But with this one, the guy, when it turned out to be him, it was just very forced, like, yes, I did this, and then it was my turn to do this, and then he did this to me. And I think they tried to, although you get that anyway with all the other Saw films, it just felt so much more forced, fake, And I think that's what they try to push all those quick cuts into, that sort of thing. I don't know. I'm halfway through my marathon, so I'll let you know when I finish it. Probably at midnight tonight.
Let me know. I just felt like it was very sore by numbers. And the real joy of it is, as I said, it's that kind of giddy, kind of a bit hokey, but you know, a little bit daft, that you might say that people might poke fun, but that's what the Saw fans like. I felt it was lacking that for me. I can't really remember much about it either, although I think it pulled into the timeline some stuff about his earliest apprentice, I think, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, very early stuff.
I'm just going to ignore it.
So. Yeah, we could probably go on too long about slating this film, which is bad. This is a celebration of Saw.
We mustn't dwell.
There was some things that I was just like, hang on a minute, that like these are very elaborate for his second room or whatever, you know. It's like, some big stuff in there, but anyway, it's there if people want to check it out. There was obviously as well Saw 7 or Saw the Final Chapter or Saw 3D, whatever you want to call it. And there's no traps from that film either, is there?
There's not, no, because I think I'd put this list together when was that? I'd seen it. Do you know, that's criminal. I had seen it because I put the list together 4 years later. None of those traps made the list, but actually looking back, there's perhaps a little oversight there, but there might be an honourable mention at the end. I surprised myself there.
I did enjoy, again, that was one where I know lots of films, they sort of like people go, Saw 6 was the best one since Saw 2, or I really like 3 and 4 because they're interconnected on the time frame so well, and which is amazing when you I'm watching them again today back to back, and when you really see it, you really connect the dots, you know. Detective Hoffman was in like Saw 3 for like 2 minutes, and then you don't ever see him again, but he's like a key guy in Saw 4, you know.
Good. That's why it kind of rewards. I mean, God, I used to do all nighters of Saw back in the day, but now there are so many. I don't know if that's really feasible, but
it's definitely watching them,
watching them in a row, I think it does really reward that for the reason you've just stated. See those connections. Yeah,
absolutely. Saw 7 was one that, the fact that they called it the Final Chapter is annoying because it's like, well, I don't think it's going to be. And then it was 3D and the blood was just pink. I remember them being slated for it being very pink. I'm guessing that's because of the 3D nature of the film in the cinema. But still, I remember when you watch it at home and you don't have one of those 3D tellies that were popular for 12 months, then it's just very pink. And again, when you're watching them back to back, you really do. You know, I did a marathon years ago and you definitely see the difference there. But we're going to talk about your favourite 10, which are in the first 6 films, maybe a few honourable mentions after.
Indeed.
So, Polly, take it away. What's in at number 10?
Well, in at number 10, and I will preface this, of course, by saying that obviously it's a very personal list. Yeah. It's not necessarily to say that they were the best in terms of what would make sense, although I don't think medically or physically many of them would what was better shot. It's kind of in line with what, you know, when I watch it, I'm like, in at number 10, it is the freezer room from Saw 3.
Yes.
I love it because it's basic. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. It's obviously the victim. She's just chained up. She's in some sort of walk-in freezer, and she's naked, and she's being sprayed with ice cold water, and that's it. That's simple. Literally it. Nice and straightforward. But I don't know if you kind of have this when you watch it. It just really gets me. I think it's her screams, you know, every time the ice cold water hits her.
Yeah, it's intense.
Her performance is great, and I think it's the way that she kind of screams each time it hits her. But
pleading
yeah,
with
I
him
am
as well, pleading with him, please, I'm human as well, help me.
Yes, yeah, definitely, because actually I'm glad you mentioned that, because this is an interesting one. I mean, some might say that traps like this kind of go against the central conceit around, you know, you're being tested, mm-hmm. How much do you really value your life, whereas this is not her test. This test is for Jeff,
yes.
I guess the lead character of Saw 3, you could say.
Yeah, definitely.
And honestly, so his challenge, I'm like, I don't know if this is really on, because he doesn't have to do much in order to free her, does he? If I can't quite remember off the top of my head.
He has to reach, I think it was, he has to reach something, but by doing that, he burned his face.
He's going to burn his face, that's it.
Yeah, he's going to, well, I say burn, like ice burn his face.
Ice burn, yes. Yeah, the ice is going to stick, and it's probably going to tear a little bit of skin off your thumb. I like that. But the setup is interesting. So the lady that's chained up, she had witnessed the car accident that killed his son, hadn't she?
Yeah.
So she'd not testified in court. So that's what brought those two characters together.
Definitely.
But you know, there's no kind of grand mechanisms whirring around, and you put the key in that and acid drops out of this and there's a pipe. Very simple.
Yeah.
But I think for that reason, it works pretty well for me anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I agree as well. It's one that's just, it's just grim, isn't it? And then she starts sort of like shattering at the end.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that I think throughout all the movies, it's all very much blood and very... It's very irony, if that makes sense. It's like it's all very rich and stuff. And this is again, they like to work with their colours, especially, you know, 2, 3, 4. I'm seeing so much green in it, and it works so well. But then all of a sudden, you have a proper blue room. You can kind of feel the cold, and
yeah,
it just works. I get the same sort of feeling when I watch Saw 4 and Detective Matthews is stood on that massive block of ice that's melting.
On the ice block, yes.
Like, oh, that one foot's just got to be so cold.
I think it's a nice visual contrast, isn't it? Especially like you say, you're kind of picking up on the kind of machinery and those warm tones of the kind of machinery that you have, and this is just straight up blue, icy cold, simple, and it doesn't end well, does it?
Not at all, definitely. And talking about earlier how horror films can cross over into scare attractions and how Saw does that so well, this was a trap that was used in the Saw horror maze as well, so
which was
pretty cool. They'd have someone in like a body suit, and again, you go in there and it was freezing cold. That's what
definitely
I like about these attractions, that change colours and stuff. So change temperatures.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely, that's a very good one at number 10. What's your number 9?
So in at number 9, I think this film is probably, I don't know if it's a more underappreciated one, although when we were discussing these earlier, I was very pleased that you brought it up. Mm-hmm. So number 9 is The Carousel from Saw 6.
Yes.
Absolutely love this. So in this one, obviously, you've got your victims who are tied down to like a roundabout inside a cage, and then it slowly turns, and then when it stops, you've got a shotgun in front of you, and their boss has the option to save them or sacrifice them. The shotgun's wired to go off automatically, if I remember rightly, so he has to choose to let it fire or to save them. And in saving them, I think it drives like a metal spike through his hand,
he's got to pull it in. Which, again, is similar to earlier, your point, and I now can't watch a Saw film in the same way. Those five people weren't in charge of their own fates, were they?
Yeah, definitely.
and four of them are definitely going to die.
Yeah, that's right. He only has the option to save two of them, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's a shame in a way. And yet on the other hand, you know, obviously these traps made the list, so I do enjoy them.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the creators, I think those behind the Saw franchise probably cottoned on quite quickly to the fact that you can really up the tension and up the stakes and up the drama by bringing in, I guess, innocent people, although these people had worked for that company, hadn't they? Was it the insurance?
It was the insurance company, the dodgy insurance company.
So, I mean, it's a little bit harsh, but I suppose you could sort of say, well, you know.
No one likes insurance companies, do they?
Yeah, they gone done the bad thing. So,
so die.
Die. But I love it. It's not so much the kind of setup with the characters on this one that I like. I really enjoy the way that what happens in the moment where they start to turn on each other, when they realize that they need to try and save themselves. So they're accusing each other of lying, and shouting and screaming, and the boss is there trying to decide what he wants to do. But also visually, this is one of my favorite traps, just in terms of how it looks. I love the fact that you've got that kind of morbid fairground music playing in the background as
the
carousel.
Spiral on it as well, which is synonymous with Saw.
The signature red spiral, which obviously looks really cool as the carousel starts to turn. I think it's just generally like it's a really good sequence, and visually I really enjoy it as well. But that fairground music really makes it.
Definitely. I'd say it's one, and people, I always say adjectives and people are like, why would you describe that as that? But I think it's probably one of the more beautiful traps.
No, I agree. No, definitely. I think it's shot in it. I think if I remember rightly, you've got a kind of overhead shot looking down at the spiral, and the music really complements it. And I think there's the kind of contrast of like, oh, it's a carousel, it should be a happy thing, or it's like a roundabout, should be a happy thing, and it's just fucking not.
It's pretty nasty.
It works really well. I agree. I know what you mean. It might come off as a strange thing to say, but I know what you mean there. I agree.
Yeah, definitely. So, and again, bringing up scare mazes and whatnot, keeping it relevant to the Scare Trap podcast. Another trap that was used at the Saw Maze at Thorpe Park.
Was it? Could I have forgotten that?
It was the... You know what, though? I'd say although it was a good room, it wasn't executed perfectly because it was the final room, and you were sort of in a cage going around it. So because you were walking around the outside of it in a cage, you couldn't... Unless you were really looking at it, you probably couldn't tell it was a proper big carousel. I think it needed a bit more of a... If it was done on more of an elevation, maybe, so when you walk in, you could see it there spinning in front of you.
That's an excellent point. And again, I think that's why, obviously, in the film, it benefits from those overhead shots.
100%.
So you can see it from above. You're absolutely right there. Yeah.
Definitely. So, missed a trick there. But they were built, they did build it on a boat. So, they couldn't exactly put a second floor in. Right. What's in it? Number eight.
So number eight, I think I got a few from this film actually. So number eight is from Saw 4, and it is the bedroom trap. So this is the trap where we have our victim, Ivan. I think his name is Ivan. Is strapped to a bed. His limbs are secured in some restraints, and he needs to choose whether he's going to have blades driven into his eyeballs. Or if he does nothing, then his limbs will be ripped away.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're in the restraints and it's going to pull them in opposite directions. Mm-hmm. And it's this is another one. We've got what's great about this one is we have got another person being tested, but I think the test is valid on both sides.
Yes.
Ivan needs to choose what he's going to do there. And this trap has got some really dark themes. About what Ivan has been up to.
He's been taking and keeping.
Yes, precisely. It's really interesting that it's his eyes, you know, because obviously he's a voyeur. that he's going to potentially have to lose his sight. And I think there's some sort of, I mean, I don't like to say it, grim satisfaction in that, maybe.
I
will say that the trap here probably takes it in an unnecessary direction, because we have, I think we have like video footage of some of Ivan's crimes playing on TV screens kind of around. I think that, I don't think we needed that.
But
I do think it's interesting that it's his eyeballs. So I think his is a great test, but then we've also got Rig. Rig has the choice of whether or not he's going to force Ivan into the trap in the first place.
Well, that's it. I was just about to mention that. It's not very often you see the build up to the trap. Not until at least later Saw films, when you see things that happened 5 years ago, you know, things like that. But this is one where, you know, he has to decide whether to put him in it or not. And he has to basically agree to get in it, kind of. I don't know how... I can't remember now, I've only just watched it, but I'm sure he didn't go there, oh yeah, fine, okay, do you want to hand tie me up? But we saw that he had to get him into it for this to happen, whereas that he could have just not got him into it at all.
Yeah, that's right. So it's kind of a moral thing for Rig as well.
Yeah.
So I think, it's really cool that it's two people being tested. And this one's got a really gory kind of end to it, which is obviously great. So, big fan of that one for sure.
Definitely good show. It's always good to have a really cool, big, gory ending.
It builds to that crescendo. It's a payoff. Definitely feel that this trap. Yeah, definitely.
There we go. So that was from Saw 4, the bedroom trap. We then got number 7. What's in at number 7?
Yeah, so at number 7, we've got another one from Saw 4. In at number 7, another one from Saw 4. I really like this. So I believe, I call this trap Eyes Sewn Shut, but I believe if you're looking on like the fandom sites, I think it might also be referred to as the Mausoleum trap.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
So it kind of depends what you call it. But yeah, I think, so by the time we get to Saw 4 in the franchise, you kind of come to expect certain things. And one of the things that Saw fans were really looking forward to would be the big, nasty opening trap, like opening scene from kind of later Saw films and beyond, this kind of big nasty beginning. And I think the best one really there is this one. You've got two people chained to like a rotating drum. One guy has his eyes sewn shut and the other guy has his mouth sewn shut, and the chain starts and they're getting pulled closer and closer to the drum, and it's tied around their necks, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think obviously gonna die that way. And there is a key, I think, that they have to retrieve, and they have to try and communicate with each other in order to
try and work together.
Retrieve it. It's a key. Yeah, try and work together, which of course isn't really possible given what's been done to them. But I think it's great because it's so well paced. This particular trap, it looks great. This is another one that has a very cool look to it.
Very yellow and it's cool.
It is.
I do like it.
Yeah, there's the added sort of gore of the fact that they're sewn. Mm-hmm. You know, the lips are sewn shut and the eyes are sewn shut, which looks quite grim. And one of them, I think they end up fighting because one of them misinterprets something as an attack. And there are kind of weapons
thrown at each other
placed around, so it gets really gory. Yeah, that's right. And again, it's another one of those that builds to that really cool kind of crescendo where he's the guy with the lips sewn shut. He rips the stitches apart as he lets out this agonizing scream.
And that's when Saw 4 comes.
And
up.
Then that.
Yeah, it's nice.
Exactly. Yeah, that then kicks off your opening title. And it's so well done. I think it sets the film up beautifully. It's suitably nasty, and it just gets you in the mood, doesn't it? You're like, so far.
You know what? It's a good point actually, because we like you say, we sort of come accustomed to you expecting something batshit crazy right out the gate, And this is definitely one of the best ones, isn't it? I think it's because there's two people there as well. The fact that they can't communicate. And again, this is another room that they used in the Saw Maze at Thorpe Park.
Got a theme emerging here, haven't we?
We have, yeah. Definitely. You and Thorpe Park both have good taste in Saw tracks, it appears.
Yeah, definitely. It's another... Saw 4 is another Darren Bousman as well, I believe.
I think he did,
did he do 2, 3 and 4? Yeah.
I think so.
2, 3 and 4. Yes, it was. Yeah, 2, 3 and 4. 3 being the best one. Or is it? I don't know. Ooh. No, is it not the best one? Not the best one in the traps. I'm saying, like, what's my favourite overall, you know? I'm a big fan of the first one, but I do really love Saw 3. And again, I think it's just tuning into what the audience have come to expect, what the audience enjoy, tuning into that, you know, and really delivering that big opening shock that I think works so well here.
Yeah, 100%. Very, very good choice. We're almost halfway. What's in at number 6?
So at number 6, we've got the blood sacrifice from Saw 5. Mm-hmm. Some may be surprised that this is in here at all, or that it made it so far in my list. So this is where we've got our, what's sometimes referred to as the Fatal Five, making their way through until there were two left at the end. Mm-hmm. And they find themselves in a room that has this great big tank and holes that you have to put your arm in. And there's a circular saw inside. The idea is that you're going to cut your arm as you put it into the hole. It needs to fill up with a certain amount of blood in order to activate the mechanism that opens the door. And the reason I like this one so much is because it's sometimes you have those traps that deliver a twist at the same time.
I get where it
kind of reveals an interesting twist as you've got the trap playing out. And this obviously delivers the twist that they realise as a group they were supposed to work together rather than just being dicks to each other.
That's the whole moral of the story is if you all work together, you all would have survived.
Yeah, definitely. Teamwork makes the dream work. That should be the tagline of Saw 5. But there's five holes in the tank, so they're like, damn it. And obviously, if all five had made it, they wouldn't have to give as much blood. And I just love this shot of after they've put their hands through the blades.
I know what you're going to say.
This is horrible. They don't shy away from it. Pull the arm out and it's just split lengthways, just hanging. Oh dear. And you think about that delicate skin between your fingers. Just dripping with blood.
This is like a weird ASMR sort of thing. Dripping with blood. It's like no, stop it, Polly, stop it.
I think we're getting into the ones that really kind of get you on a more kind of visceral level, aren't we? You know, the ones that make you really go that kind of thing.
Also about this one, I always remember 5. But I only really remember this section of number 5. Like if someone says Saw 5, I go, it's the blood sacrifice room.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I'd agree with you having it on the list purely because, as well, it's one that they... I know there's lots of games where they have to sacrifice something themselves to do it, but this one, it's not like a quick... don't get me wrong, I don't want anything going into my eyeball, but it's a quick boom in your eye quick down your throat. And whereas this one is you're watching it for 8, it feels like forever, and it's like they're having to do it to themselves and it's still going
it goes on and on, doesn't it?
Big time. So it's grim.
It's very well done.
Let's move on so I feel a little less sick. Number 5.
So number 5, we're showing a little bit of love for Saw 2 at last. This is the needle pit. So at number 5, we've got the needle pit where you've got that horrible, it's like a big pit filled with syringes And they have 120,000
they use.
Is it 100? Is it? Oh my word.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I saw it. I was watching it. I think it was on IMDb. It was in the trivia bit. Yeah.
Oh,
that's a
God.
Lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It looks great as well. It's the whole setup of it. And then there's buried in there, I think there's a key that needs to be pulled out so that they can unlock the door. And there's also a time limit on this. They've got 60 seconds. So I like how much tension that brings to the scene.
Definitely.
And it's quite simple in its setup, isn't it, this one? Kind of think back to the ice room. There's not an awful lot going on here. Mm-hmm. But what makes it, like, you know, 10 times worse is that someone ends up in the trap who it wasn't even meant for. Amanda gets pushed in, and once she gets pushed in, she's got no choice really but to have a go at it.
I kind of like the fact that it was Amanda in there. I think I really like Amanda's character a lot, and I'm getting to the point in the films where I'm missing her, because obviously she was killed in Saw 3.
It was 3.
And you don't really see any more of her until later on in the, well, what happened 5 years ago sort of thing, you know. So you only see bits and bobs of her. So as a character, I think she played a great role in sort of Saw 2 and of course 3 as well. So I kind of liked that it was Amanda in there. It kind of gave her the, she's hard as fucking nails, this girl. It's like, don't be scared of John, be scared of Amanda. She's fucking batshit crazy. She can do that. She's beaten how many tests? Like, she's like a machine.
Right. And as it turns out, obviously they should have been scared of her, because she's working with Jigsaw. But I think as I said, there's not much to it, but as that clock is counting down, she starts frantically kind of going through these needles, and you see all of them sticking out of the skin and kind of hanging off her. And it's really quite intense. And then obviously there's the way it ends, you're just like, no. Which is quite devastating. I think it really gets me, especially with the needles kind of sticking out of her. It's quite horrible.
It is. It's grim, isn't it? It's again, I've just watched all these films, but talking about it's making me feel far worse. I've watched them fine, but I've been, you know, eating my popcorn and my cakes. What's in at number four?
Number four. Do you know, depending on what day you talk to me, I would probably easily just say this is number one, actually. But then other times I think, no, come on. You do prefer other ones, but I have such a soft spot for this entire moment. It's the coffin trap from Saw 5. Oh my goodness.
It's
this
just
is
insane.
Fantastic.
It's insane,
so
isn't it?
It's so good. It's obviously we have Strom finds himself. This is, I think, at the very end of the film. He's locked in a room. There's the audio tape device that we usually get, where he receives the message to say that if he goes into this coffin, there's a coffin below him, that if he goes into there, that he may survive. But there's a whole trust dynamic between him and Hoffman. So Strom believes that this is actually a trap. So he decides not to enter the coffin. Instead, he waits for Hoffman to enter the room, and he pushes Hoffman in. Hoffman kind of plays along. It turns out
he's been playing along this whole damn time.
That he's screwed himself big time. That the coffin descends while the walls of the room above slide together and crush Strom. Those effects when it's crushing him together.
When his arm goes. Ooh.
Yes, yeah, there's a good arm snap. And again, I mentioned earlier that I really enjoyed the traps that have a twist that plays out. This particular one plays out so well because the audience don't know what's happening. The same way that Strom doesn't know what's happening, and our realization mirrors his when we realize what's happened. And then you've got, again, because this is kind of at the end of the film, you've got what we were talking about earlier, that kind of signature style of the Saw theme music coming in, which is just great anyway.
It's
a fantastic piece of music. And then you've got that kind of playing over the horrible effects of what's happening. And obviously the regrets that that Strom must be feeling in his final moments.
Big time.
And just how painful that death must have been.
Yeah, like that is just... And it's also quite... In a weird way, it's quite old school, isn't it? Like, there's got to be lots of movies, like old school horror movies, where they're like, the wolves are coming in, push the wolves. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure even on Scooby-Doo episodes and things like that, it just is the nightmare of the wolves are closing in, what do we do? But this time, rather than in most films where they're like, we found the hidden door, or we found the switch to stop the wolves, or we're just in time, the wolves haven't killed us. This one, it keeps going. Yeah. And when I was watching it for the first time, I was like, okay, the camera will cut away now, or it'll cut away now, or... Yeah. The camera's probably going to cut away in a minute because they can't really. Oh my god, his arm's in half! Like, and it just shows you the whole thing. And when the blood of the arm just drips onto the coffin underneath, so Hoffman is just up there watching him die.
It's
visually beautiful. Again, that's probably a beautiful one. It's just visually so impressive.
Yeah, it is. It very much is. I mean, Hoffman, he just looks very smug generally. He's got
a
smug
cock, isn't he? He's a cock.
He's just, honestly, he's brilliant. But then obviously in that moment where he's like, yeah, I won. Like you say, the blood is spilling down because it's a glass coffin as well. It's just terrific. It's the trap that reminds me the most of the film Cube. Have you seen Cube?
Oh, they're great. There's three of them, isn't there?
Yeah. Do you know? I don't know if I've even seen the other two. I might have. The first one's definitely the best. Yeah. It reminds me of that. I guess it's that kind of like, you know, it's the walls. I don't know if Cube explicitly has something with the walls sliding together, but it has that kind of feel. It reminds me a little bit of that. But yeah, it is just a great twist, a great revelation. You've got the music. You've got two brilliant characters. I love them both. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really, really great way to close out the film.
Yeah, definitely. You know what? It's funny you mention Cube, because after I got proper involved in Saw, like I say, I was quite late, so I was watching them all. I could watch quite a lot altogether. I think I only had to wait for Saw 7 to come out, maybe. So I had like a big look, and then I was buying hoodies, t-shirts, this. I was loving Saw. And again, my wife, Hannah, is quite good when it comes to horror and thriller and those sort of films. And she actually said, if you like Saw, watch Cube. So it's funny you mentioned Cube now, especially with this trap as well. So if you anyone listening out there, if you do enjoy Saw, check out Cube. It's pretty cool.
It is. It's very good. Yeah, well worth a watch.
Definitely. Now we are on to the top three. What's took bronze? What's in at number three?
We're getting there now, aren't we? Yeah. So in at three, we've got and I hope none of you are eating. We've got the pig vat from Saw 3. So this is a giant blender, essentially. We've got a poor chap strapped to the bottom of this big giant blender type thing, and we've got dead pigs that are definitely in the later stages of decomposition. They're rotting away. And they're getting blended up into this putrid, grey, slimy, rancid liquid mulch.
Yeah.
And they get poured onto him. He's strapped down in the bottom. Bless him. He can't move. Bless him. Poor guy. Can't even remember what he did wrong, but bless him.
I think he was the judge that gave...
The judge, yes.
Yeah, that was it.
Yes, that's right. He handed down... not much of a sentence,
that was it,
probably.
Yeah.
I get, yeah. That he's going to drown in the pig juice.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. Like, obviously, we've got linking back to the pig mask. So we've got the pigs making an appearance again. Yeah. And it's just the fact, it's when you see the pig juice going into his mouth because he's screaming. Oh, God. Oh, this trap, it knows exactly what it's going for. It goes at a certain level and it stays there. It's just disgusting. So I really like that it has the courage of its convictions. It's kind of like, no, it's literally pig juice.
Quite literally.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's pig juice, dead, and they're rotting, and but yeah, you're right. It is. It's Jeff again because it's Saw 3.
Yeah.
And it's whether or not he wants to free the judge, who had sentenced his son's killer. And I do quite like the test for Jeff. When we were talking about Jeff's test earlier, I was saying I don't think it was very good, but here I do really like it. He has to burn all of his son's soft toys, doesn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
In like an incinerator thing, because there's a key in there that he needs to retrieve. I think that's quite good.
Yeah,
I quite like that test for Jeff.
Definitely.
Yeah, but yeah, it's again, there's not a lot to this one, but it goes at a certain level,
it's a different way of killing as well, isn't it? There's very much lots of you've been shot by a shotgun, or you've had your head torn off or something like that. But when it comes to the ones that are that little bit different, like the freezer room, obviously that's a little bit different. And then this one, he doesn't actually die, does he? In fairness, Jeff saves him from this trap.
But still,
there's a hell, it feels like forever. And it's one of those things, like, not only are you suffocating, but you're suffocating from that vile, bile, disgusting,
pigs
sliced up. That makes it worse.
It would have been good if, because there's a shot where, like, you kind of see that it's pretty much just his nose and mouth that are poking out. Like it's gone over his eyes, it's gone over everything. How good would it have been if they'd kind of had a shot of him vomiting?
Oh, nice.
And then it kind of, well, mind you, he'd have choked on it, wouldn't he? Because he's laying down. Just thought it would have been gross if you saw like a little bit of vomit just shooting up.
Out. I like that. You have a way with words, Polly.
Oh, it's just horrible. Yeah, it's it knows what it's doing, that trap. It's, as I say, it's not massively complex, but yeah, it's a good one.
Definitely, that is good, and it's grim, and it's disgusting, and it's smelly, and it's just one of those that you wouldn't choose. Definitely. What's Scott Silver? What's in at number two?
Oh, so at number two, we've got some more love for Saw 3. Is The Rack.
Oh, it's so bad.
The Rack. It is horrible. So this one is, he's literally, poor guy, he's got his limbs on this kind of rack contraption, and they are secured. And then there's each section of, like, it's got a, he's separate for his each leg and each arm. And each section begins to slowly twist. Mm-hmm. So that limb fractures, and yeah, you see some bones bursting out.
Yeah.
And it's the sound design actually on this particular trap.
The cranks, hearing the cogs, hearing the bones. It's all very, they know what they're doing, don't they? They know what they're doing.
Yes, definitely. And then him screaming, and like you say, the machine sounds grinding and all that. It's got a really nice kind of end point, because you can see that it's going to be building up to his head.
Yeah.
Because you know that's what's going to kill him. So it's really great how it kind of builds up to that. There's a definite end point to it. And it's a really great performance from the victim.
Yeah.
I think, is it called? Can't remember the name of the character. Timothy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, Timothy. And you know that it actually plays out really well in the kind of overall narrative of Saw 3, because you're building up in terms of the people that had a part to play in the tragedy of his son's death, not necessarily the death itself, but everything that happened around it. We're now looking at the person that killed him.
Yeah, the key suspect, really, yeah.
Which is, so the rack is hideous, and it kind of works because it's got that position of, you know, this is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's another test for Jeff, because it's Saw 3. Whether he can bring himself to save him. So, you know, the hardest one, I guess, yeah. Because this is the guy that
he has
did
to
it.
Take a bullet to save him as well, which just adds that.
Oh,
other
do you
thing.
Know, I was going to ask you that. Yeah. I was going to ask you that because I couldn't remember what his test was.
He has to grab a key from the back of a tank that basically, once he grabs the key, it's going to pull a loaded shotgun. Grant, right. I think it would go in his, the way I'm looking at it, again, I'm really geeky, I think it would go in his shoulder. So it would be one of those that doesn't. Right. Kill him.
Got you.
But yeah, so he'd have to take a bullet for the man who killed your son, basically.
Right. That's brilliant. Yeah. It's so well
the storytelling. Done. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, I remember the earlier ones better just because I feel like I've watched them more because I've been like, I'm going to do a marathon. And then after three, I'm like, okay, I don't have time to do a marathon, so I've just watched the first three or four again. So I'm remembering those ones more. But the storytelling of number three, and then when it mixes with number four, I feel those two films are very much, very well integrated together. That's when the story, you know, it's not just Jigsaw now, is it? It's seeing so much more behind it, and it just creates the whole... Yeah. That's what I like. Again, we're going off topic a little bit, but I think that's why I love Saw. Like, it upsets me when people just go, well, it's just gore porn. I'm like, well, there's a lot of that, but there's so much backstory that just continues. Yes. And continues. And you could say maybe sometimes they push it, hence Jigsaw. I think they pushed it. But The Rack, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I quite agree with what you said there in terms of the storytelling element as well, because, you know, torture porn was a very easy term to chuck around at the time, and it kind of implied that there was a lack of skill, a lack of nuance, a lack of metaphor. It was just such a broad term, and really, you know, I don't think, you know, you've got to look beyond that. Mm-hmm. Enough people, don't get me wrong, plenty of people were perfectly capable of looking beyond that term because they understood that it's, you know, critics who are kind of out of touch.
Yeah, and definitely.
And people worrying about nothing. So, you know, the best people were able to look beyond it. And I'm glad that that they were, because like you say, there's great storytelling behind it. And just an overall experience that it really delivers.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Definitely.
And the
trap as well. The rack.
Pretty good. It's just
synonymous with Saw as well now, isn't it? It's sort of like if anyone was to see just a clip of that, they'd go boom, Saw. Like it's
it's definitely and I know obviously we've got the bear trap and all that kind of thing, but yeah, it's just all the bones, Let's break all the bones,
so many
all
bones.
Of them. Let's break them. Oh dear.
Right then, what before we go on, just a couple of honourable mentions. What is number one? What is your favourite trap in the Saw franchise?
So number one, I wonder what it could be. I wonder what this could possibly be. It is the bathroom trap from Saw. It is the original. Mm-hmm. It is the jumping off point for the franchise, the story in all its complicated twists and turns. This is where we started, and it's that choice, that simple choice. You're gonna saw off your foot, or you're going to be imprisoned forever. Yeah. And both of those are just so macabre and intense. Like if you imagine literally sawing off your own foot, like imagine the pain.
Oh, insane.
And then imagine that slow death of the alternative. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's just wonderful. It's uncomplicated.
Yeah.
It's unforgiving in the way that it's depicted. And it's a trap that brings with it that wonderful reveal, again with the music coming in.
Yeah.
You know, where we see him kind of standing up. It's iconic.
Yeah,
it's the whole centerpiece of the whole franchise.
Definitely.
We've got great character stuff between Adam and Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they've each got their own little missions. Lawrence has to kill Adam, and Adam needs to escape, and all of that kind of plays into it. But yeah, it just reaches that perfect finale, and he's soaring through the flesh and the bone and the
and it's one of those, it's the longest trap as well, isn't it? Obviously, because it's basically the entire film, really. It's just this one trap.
That's right.
And
yeah.
So much story happens behind this just one very simple trap. And the trap being, it's literally a saw. That's all he had to do, put you in a room with a saw. Excuse me. Obviously, he's had to plan out the room and put the X here and things like that. But the beauty lies in its simplicity. And like you say, it's the kickstarter to the rest of this crazy screwed up franchise.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It delivers, and it is, everyone associates it with that wonderful twist, probably everybody's favorite twist, right from the beginning. Which again, I can't get enough of that music either. Any moment where you bring the music in, I'm like, yes,
it's so cool.
It is. It's wonderful. So yeah, that's, it's iconic. It's got to be number one, hasn't it? Really? Yeah,
definitely. No, I like that. I think that is a quality list. Everyone listening, do you agree with that? Would you have anything that, would you have any honorable mentions on your top 10? What do you think, what do you think's missing that should be on there? I've got a random one now, of a couple of honourable mentions. But it's, I want to say Saw 6, I think it is. It's when there's just two people, there's a lady and a guy, they're in a cage each, and the person that gets to go free is the person that has, like, deposits the heaviest amount of flesh.
Again,
that one, it's not all singing or dancing, it's not glitz and glamour, it's very much, you have these tools, chop off as much as your body as you're willing to chop off. And the way he's cutting off bits of his belly, she ends up cutting off her arm, it's just grim.
Say it reminds me, that you know, that kind of prolonged, because the effort, like with sawing off your foot, like from Saw, the kind of physical effort that you would have to go to hack away at yourself for like a prolonged period of time, just imagining that as well. I totally agree. I think that's a great shout.
Definitely. That one's probably one of my favorite simple ones. And then where another mention has to go to, is it Saw 3? I think it might be. And I can't remember her name, but the female detective who, the rib cage gets torn apart.
Oh, fantastic one. Yes, she has to put her hand in the acid,
And again, the soundscape on that, just hearing her hand as soon as it goes into that acid, and the fact that she, as well, with that trap, that is one where it is solely up to her. It's like no one else is in her, controlling her fate. It's up to her to get out of this one individual trap. It's not part of any other big huge game or whatnot, like Jeff's is and whatnot. But we then see a figure of someone come in close, and she goes, "You," but we don't know who that person is. So it's a trap that's an awesome elaborate trap, and it looks cool with the chest ripping apart, but it also adds a bit more story of like, fuck, she saw someone and she knows who it is, but we don't know who it is. So
we don't know. Definitely. It's a great effect as well, isn't it? Like you say, the
big time,
but kind of bursts open. It's really, really well done. Really well done, that effect. That's it's a great trap, that one.
Definitely. Yeah. So they're the ones coming to my head. Obviously, it's been 6 or 7 years since you wrote this top 10. So is anything like jump into the front of your mind now, thinking if you were to make maybe a top 15 or a top 12, is there a couple more that you would want to get into this list now?
I think the ribcage one actually is interesting. You mentioned that because I really like that one as well, for the same reasons you said. You know, it's purely for her. It's horrible because she's kind of putting she tries a few times to get her hand in there, and the acid's kind of turning bloody, the more and more the flesh kind of burns, which is great. So I really do like that one. Although as we touched on earlier, looking back, Saw 7 is good. I like them all. I don't mind Saw 7. And it is odd that we haven't got anything in there from that, and when I really think about it, when I think about Saw 7 and what I like, it has to be the car, you know, the car
track. The first one, isn't it?
The opening one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that is the opening one, yeah.
The opening one. Obviously, the late, great Chester Bennington. It holds a special place for that reason. But I love the way that it sets off like a chain reaction of death. Obviously he's glued to the seat, isn't he?
He's glued to the seat.
Yeah. So he needs to pull, I think he needs to pull a lever. I can't remember what he needs to do, but he's got three people who are going to die. If he doesn't stop it, we've got someone's head that's going to get crushed, and we've got somebody where the car's going to basically run into them. And then I think the best one, if I remember rightly, their jaw is chained.
It's attached. Yeah.
Yes. And it rips it and sends it flying. And I think that one has a great pace to it. I like that there are different people involved in that it's not just one person, and the effects are really good in that one as well. So definitely. To say maybe drop one in of Saw 7, not just to put it in there for the sake of it. I do genuinely, I really like the car trap. I think it's really nasty.
Yeah, it's really smart. And you mentioned in that that ring, sort of that chain with a ring on his jaw, actually reminds me of another trap earlier on. Again, I think it was, well, this one might be Saw 4.
I want to say 4. I know the one you mean. It's the
with
guy.
All
that
he's literally got it on his mouth, on his hands, on his legs, and he's just chained within, like, it's like he's in like a classroom, isn't it, sort of thing.
Yes, he is.
No, I'm just saying, I think that's the first one they make a point of that being unwinnable.
It
starts getting a bit convoluted, doesn't it? Like, even Kramer said, like, your games were unwinnable. So that was my impression of John Kramer. That one, again, is a visual one, isn't it?
It is, very much so. It's you've got him kind of in the centre, and then you've got all these chains extending out all around the frame, because I think they're in his jaw, which is where we have that hint of like this is unwinnable, but then it's in his flesh as well, I think, from what I remember. So it looks great, and then like you say, those kind of eagle-eyed viewers, before it's revealed about the traps being unwinnable, they might have been like, what? How's he going to do that? Like, that's unwinnable.
Yeah.
Obviously it came to be revealed, which I thought was a great little twist as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad they put it in as well, because I was one of those people that goes, well, because again, I watched them all very much back to back when I first got into it. And I was saying to Hannah, I was like, whoa, whoa, I'm not happy about this. How is he going to get out of there? And then later on, they're like, well, he couldn't get out anyway. So, Have you got any other honourable mentions, or would you say that sort of tops off your list?
Not really. I would say that's kind of it, because the more you think about the traps, I mean, I could go on and on.
There's
so many good ones, and I probably wouldn't stop. So for the sake of the podcast, it's probably a good point to leave it there.
You know what? We've gone over an hour as well.
We didn't think we would, did we?
No, but I think I've enjoyed it. It's been good.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. Really good. Really, really good.
Any time to talk about Saw, definitely. People can check out your written blog online as well, can't they?
They can, yeah. So the original blog post is on the Celluloid Screams website, celluloidscreams.com. And then if you just pop over to the blog on the menu, you'll see it there. So, if you want to have we've obviously pretty much gone through it, but if you wanted to have a read of any of those bits on there. And thank you very much for having me on to talk about the best franchise ever.
No, it's great. Thanks, like I say, it was a kind of a bit of a last minute thing. I was like, oh, Spiral comes out next week. I've been waiting forever for this, so I need to watch all 8 movies before I go and watch it. And that's when Polly was like, well, I have a blog post about this. Let's talk about it. It's worked out really well. I think a perfect conclusion, really. Polly, thank you very, very much for joining us on Scare Track.
Yeah, great. Thanks. A pleasure as always. Thanks again. And we'll speak to you soon.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the ScareTrack podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared.
So there we go, folks. First of all, a huge thank you to Polly for coming on to the Scare Trap podcast and letting us know all about her top 10 saw traps. If you want to check out her written blog, I've put the link in the show notes below. Of course, go and support Celluloid Screams as well. Really glad we can get Polly back onto the podcast a little bit. It was about a year ago now when we actually introduced Polly as a guest host, and we did it with some cool little videos in Shrewsbury Prison. And if you want to go and check him out, go over, give him a like. It's on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/scaretrack. But yeah, you know, when we're introducing these new people to the podcast, we'd like to give them a little bit of a build up with the video, and it was all built up. Thousands of people watched it. Everyone was like, oh my god, it's Polly from Horrorbox and Celluloid Screams, she's joining Scaretrack. And then literally in between the two videos of releasing, COVID hit here in the UK and we went on lockdown, and everything was a little bit crazy last year. So it's great to have Polly back onto the Scaretrack podcast, and we're looking forward to doing more stuff with Polly in the coming months, and especially over Halloween as well. I hope you guys are joining us with the marathon, with the Saw marathon. I'm just over halfway through the franchise of my binge watch, or re-watch. You know, I've seen them so many times, but I'm really enjoying just watching them all back to back. You've just see so many different bits, and obviously because you now know the end product, you do see extra bits as well. So yeah, really enjoying it. Get onto our Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat and Facebook, interact with us, guys. We've been getting loads of photos and memories of Saw. It's really great, and we're sharing all those on our story on Instagram as well, so do join us. Of course, you can get everything Scaretrack related over on our website at scaretrack.co.uk, and of course, like I say, wherever you're listening to this podcast, be sure to subscribe, and also subscribe on our YouTube channel as well. A huge thank you for listening, and I want to play a game. We'll be right back.